Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. We're going to continue today and this whole week to look at the teaching of John the Apostle from the Last Supper Discourse, the intimate, powerful, personal words of Jesus to his disciples, helping them understand more deeply who he is, what his mission is, what's at the center of Christ's mission, the call that's on their lives. He prepares them for what's coming, not only in his life, but what will come in their lives as they step forward in responding to his call to mission. We ended last week talking about how each one of us is called to bear fruit. Jesus said, I've chosen you and I've appointed you. And I've appointed you to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. The fruit of Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Really what he's talking about is he's chosen us out of the world, which is a kingdom that he's talking about, the fallen dimension of the world we live in, God's good creation, but there is here the fall, the reality of a kingdom that resists God. We can see it throughout culture. We've talked about it many times on the program. So Jesus said, I've chosen you out of that, you know, that disordered energy, out of that resistance against God. And I've placed you in my kingdom. I've revealed to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And I've given you a share in my life. And now I'm sending you forth on mission to extend the kingdom. And I've chosen you for this, so therefore you can do it. And I've appointed you. And what I've appointed you to do is to become a fruit bearer. And that is to build the kingdom of God in whatever way God's particular call in your life unfolds. The heart of it is Jesus expects us to live with him, live from him, live in the power of the Holy Spirit, live in his church, live in the grace of the sacraments and under the word of God, and living each day understanding that I've been sent by the Lord personally. And if I pay attention to him, and if I walk in the Spirit and I continue to draw close to him, and then obey his call in my life and obey the words he's given to me, I'm going to bear fruit for the kingdom. And Jesus said what his eye is on and what he's after is the kind of fruit that will last. And that's the real fruit of the kingdom of God, love of God, love of neighbor, right? To do justice, to care for the poor, all the things that are in the life of the Lord and helping and for the church to be a light in the darkness, to be able to reveal the truth that is in Christ in a world that's resisting that truth regularly. So we ended Friday on that note. And then in verse 18, chapter 15 of John's gospel, Jesus drills down and begins to teach on and prepare the brothers and those who are with him for the resistance that's going to come their way. And he wants each of them, and he wants each of us, everyone who's baptized into Christ and walking as disciples, to understand where the resistance comes from and why the resistance is there in the world to the kingdom of God. Verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. There's in the world, this fallen dimension of human existence, there is the drive in the human heart to say, my will be done. In the human heart to say, I'm the source of my own existence. I'm the source of meaning. I'll define for myself what is good. Psalm 2, as I've talked about many times in the program, you know, the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, against God and his anointed Messiah, Jesus. God the Father has placed his Son on the throne. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Everything on earth, every person, all of creation, the whole cosmos was made for Jesus. It was made through Jesus. Right? And Jesus comes to claim and bring back and restore what was made for him by the Father. Each one of us was made for him. But in the midst of this creation is a resistance to that will of God. Now, Psalm 2 reminds us God sits in the heavens and laughs when he sees the human race pounding its chest and resisting him. It's impossible to resist God. It's always going to end badly. for anybody who ultimately stays in it. But Jesus is making it clear. He's come to bring the rule and the reign of God. And he's come to give humanity an opportunity to line up with the kingdom of God. And he's come to ultimately, he's going to destroy all resistance to the kingdom of the Father, the plan of the Father, the economy of God. And so the powers, the world, the flesh, and the devil resists it and it hates it. So those who are united to Jesus, bear his image, and are really walking in the teaching and the truth and the authority, are radically committed to the Lord, they become targets of the world. The resistance then turns against them. That's the point Jesus is after. He said, the reason they're coming after you is because they hate me. And they hate my claim over them. And they hate my claim over the fallen world. And they're going to hate you because of your identification with me. He goes on. He said, remember, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So he's saying the servant is going to inherit, the servant's going to walk in everything that the master taught. And so to the degree that they resist the master, they're going to resist you. But all this they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. It's really inspiring to see, maybe that's not the right word, it's amazing, I think, to see Jesus diagnose the situation. Where does this come from and why is it there, the resistance? But all this they will do to you on my account. Why? Because they do not know him who sent me. They don't know God the Father. They don't know God the Father. There's a resistance to God who created all things and everything is in his hands. And you see the sickness and the sin and the brokenness of the human condition that consistently tries to craft political systems and social orders and ways in the world that factor God out of the equation, to try to create a world and a pattern of life that has no public reference to God, to live as if God doesn't exist. That is what the world wants as the norm. That's the fallen world. It's madness, it's crazy, it's foolish to pretend that there is no God, that we don't owe God anything, that we somehow are here just by an accident, and therefore we're the source of whatever good that's in us and whatever purpose. We define it. We define what's true, valuable. We define what's true. We define what's good. We define what's just, as if it all comes from us. There's so much all around us constantly that reveals God outside of us and within us. So you see the resistance of God, how strong it is, by the total way in which the world just simply suppresses it. Extraordinary. Jesus said the root of that is they don't know God, but he'll even go deeper and explain it. He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. I think one of the things you see in the heart of Jesus, which is a heart of pure love, is the relationship between truth and love. You know, St. John Paul II said at one point, there is no love without the truth, and there's no truth without love. This is the nature of the intimacy of truth and being and goodness and love that's in God himself. So there's no compromise in Jesus. Jesus doesn't compromise the truth in order to quote-unquote love. But Jesus is loving in his assessment and his diagnosis of what's going on in the heart of his enemies. And he said, he came and he spoke to them and he preached. He's talking about the religious leaders and really anybody who heard him and resisted him. But in particular, he's probably talking here about the religious leaders who were consistently tracking him and resisting him. He said, I spoke the truth to them. They rejected it. Therefore, they have no excuse. They've set themselves against God. And I think one of the things that our contemporary culture, how different it is, even within the church, how different it is than Jesus' heart and assessment of the human heart and the human condition, is Jesus is right at, Jesus sees it as it is. I proclaim my truth, they rejected it, and therefore they're in their sins. They refused it. So there's no excuse for that. Many places in the church today, even, people say, well, we rarely talk like this. Leadership rarely talks like this in the church and assesses the situation of the resistance to God in it. I mean, it's really true. People who are walking away from the church, there's all kinds of people leaving the church. There's a kind of a great apostasy going on in the church. As the numbers continue to shrink, people walk away for whatever reasons. Ultimately, they're walking away from the truth that is in Jesus. And there's enormous responsibility there because Jesus will hold every one of us to account. And it's serious and it's real. People walk away like, no fear of God, no big deal. It's just my own, I'm just following my own bliss. It's just kind of my own journey. And rarely does the church, rarely do the people in that kind of a situation have a hold on and recognize what Jesus is pointing to here is the deep resistance in the human heart to the rule and the reign of God. It's especially difficult when there's a momentum in the culture and the kings of the earth, as it were, are openly resisting God and looking at the teaching of Christ or looking at what the church stands for and increasingly find it, they take offense at it and judge it. They judge God's teaching as too narrow, as hateful, as bigoted, and the rest of it. And so people at a time like this, there's a sort of a test that's going on. Because as the world gets more confident and bold and aggressive in its resistance to the church and what the church believes, if we're not clinging to Jesus, that is, if we're not holding on because we know he's the way, the truth, and the life, and if we haven't decided to take the posture that he's calling the apostles to lay down our lives, to put Jesus above all things and be radically centered on him, we're in a shakable situation. You might say, we're not standing solidly on the rock. We're standing with one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Jesus is going to allow us to be shaken loose because what he's after is a church and apostles and disciples who've come to terms with the challenge that we're facing to be identified with Jesus, and we're radically all in. We're all in. We're not fooled by all the deception of the world and all its false gospels and all its false promises. We stand solidly, solidly with the Lord, and we belong to him, no longer belonging to ourselves. We've come to terms with that. We get it. That's God's grace that allows us to do it. So Jesus goes on in verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done the works that I'd done, they would not have sinned. So Jesus said, they heard my words, they saw my works and my deeds, my signs, my wonders, and they still said no. And what's being revealed there, Jesus said, is they hate me and they hate my Father. They refuse to accept the reality of the rule and reign of God. God's rightful rule over the human heart, over his whole creation. Deep in the human heart is a resistance that says no. That's what Jesus is pointing here. That's why people won't receive. And he said, they hate me and they hate my Father. This is a great time, friends, in a time of transformation and shaking in the country for us to examine our hearts and say, what are we hanging on to that is shakable, that Jesus wants us to let go of? God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.